Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
Ever since God first gave us His law, people have been passing judgment on it, making evaluations of it. There are people who say the Bible is outdated, irrelevant, too violent, too intolerant, too narrow, too judgmental, too boring, too hard to understand. And what those people don't realize is, it's not the Bible that's on trial. Now, there's an old story you may have heard about a guy that went into a museum and looked at all the paintings and all the great art and said, "I don't think much of these paintings." And the curator said, "The paintings aren't on trial. You are." And what he meant by that is, these paintings have already been found to be great. That's not up for debate. That's not up for discussion. If you don't like them, that just shows that you don't know anything about great art. It's an evaluation. Your assessment of them is an evaluation of you, not them. That may or may not be true of certain pieces of art, but it's definitely true of Scripture. God's Word is not on trial. We are. And what you think of the Bible says nothing about the Bible and everything about you. The Word of God is the ultimate standard against which our worth is measured. A great man who doesn't think much of the Bible is an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. Because greatness and smallness is determined by your relationship to the Word of God. That's what Jesus says here in verse 19. Now, before I start talking about this verse, I just want to ask you to think about this. What impact does verse 19 have on your heart when you hear it? "Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." You got a warning, you got a promise. Now, what impact does that have on you when you hear that? Let me ask you this. Do you ever obey a command of God out of a desire for greatness in the kingdom? Is that your motivation? I mean, we have a lot of motives. We have a lot of reasons for doing things and obeying God. We do it because we love Him. We obey Him because we want to please Him. We do it because we know His way is the best way. We obey Him because we want to avoid consequences of sin and because we hunger and thirst for righteousness and all of that. But do you ever obey because you are working toward becoming great? That term great refers to rank. Someone who is great is someone who is of high importance, power, authority, dignity, fame, or honor. Someone who is eminent. A great person is someone who is distinguished, who surpasses others in excellence or in station, who is worthy of high esteem. That's what the word great means. So my question is that what is motivating you? Is that what you're shooting for? Are you out there obeying God? Because in your mind, you're thinking, "I want to rise to eminence and high rank and great fame and honor and dignity in the kingdom of God." It just doesn't sound quite right, does it? We have a name for people who seek that kind of greatness in this world. We call them megalomaniacs. And that is never a compliment. If anybody ever calls you that, they're not trying to compliment you. I looked up megalomaniac in Webster and it said, "A delusional mental disorder that is marked by feelings of personal grandeur." So there's something in us that just kind of recoils from this. Especially since such a major part of godliness is humility. Right? And so greatness just doesn't seem quite right to seek personal greatness. And yet, Jesus is offering us greatness as a motivation. He's warning us about not being least, and he's offering greatness as a carrot, as a motivator to us. So if verse 19 doesn't motivate us, something's wrong. Because that's the point of it. It doesn't work. If it doesn't motivate you, you might as well just throw it right out of your Bible. If the King of Kings offers me something some great treasure as an incentive, and I don't see that treasure as having any real value or any motivating impact on my heart, I got a real problem, because it means I don't see things the same way He sees things. And God sees things the right way. So if He sees greatness in the kingdom as a good thing that I ought to be motivated by, but I don't see it that way, that means my value system and my affections are twisted and distorted and messed up and sick and broken. But praise be to God, His Word doesn't just command things, it also supplies the grace needed to heal and repair what's broken in us. And so my goal all week, as I've been studying this, has been for the Lord to use His Word to heal and repair what was broken in my affections. And my prayer this morning is that He will use this sermon to do the same thing, whatever's needed in your affections. The good news is, probably none of us have to worry about generating an appetite for greatness and honor. We have that. Our problem isn't that we're not motivated by greatness and honor. Our problem is we tend to be motivated by the wrong look to the wrong source for greatness. We want greatness and honor in this world. And most of us do pretty well at hiding our megalomania. We aren't out there trying to become famous or become dictators or whatever. We keep it subtle. We keep it subtle. We just want to make sure people realize what a good job we're doing and make sure we get credit for what we deserve and all that. And we have different personality types. It comes out in different ways. Some people love being up on stage and having spotlight shining on them with big, loud, thunderous applause, whatever. And you know, there's other people that would be mortified at that. That's the absolute last thing they'd want, is to be the center of attention. However, even those kind of people, they don't want the spotlight. Even those kind of people have an appetite for honor and greatness. Maybe you don't like the big, loud applause, but still, you want to be respected and thought well of. I think that's true of everyone. And if you doubt that, just ask yourself how you would feel. If you don't think you have an appetite for honor, then just ask, how would you feel if you were, if you just walk into the church, you walk past the room, and you just overhear, so you're just in time to overhear this couple of people talking about you, and they don't know you're walking past, and you hear your name mentioned, and the one person mentions your name, the other person says, is that the one that everyone says is such a buffoon? Oh yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's the one. Ah, what a dingbat. Yeah, that's for sure. Nobody would argue with you there. And if you hear that about you, I'm guessing that even if you are humble, a humble person, still, you're not going to walk away smiling and feeling happy and saying, oh, good, they hit the nail right on the head. It's so nice to have people who know me and who can make accurate assessments of me. I think if you heard people talking like that about you, you'd probably walk away sad, either because you think they're wrong, or because you know they're right and you wish they were wrong. Either way, the reason you're sad about having that reputation is because of the appetite that God planted in you for greatness and honor. And just like all your God-given appetites, that appetite is good. It's good. It really is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. The appetite for greatness is good. But just like all our other appetites, there are ways to satisfy that appetite in good ways or sinful ways. You can do it in a God-glorifying way. You can do it in a self-seeking way. In fact, Romans 2:7, I think, is a fascinating verse. It says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking, there will be wrath and anger. Now that's fascinating. If you are self-seeking, you get punished. But if you seek glory for yourself and honor for yourself and immortality for yourself, you get rewarded. So clearly there's a way to seek glory and honor and immortality for yourself that is not self-seeking.
Well, I'm so glad you tuned in today. Thanks for being here. You've been listening to an excerpt from the sermon Kingdom Greatness on Matthew 5:19. That full sermon and all the sermons are available for free download on treasuringgod.com. Before you go today, let me just leave you with two questions to ponder. I don't know how you use these podcasts, but for me, I like to listen first thing in the morning and pick one thought from the podcast to work over in my mind through the day. So in today's podcast, there's actually two things that came to mind. First one, What are some ways that I have been guilty of seeking earthly greatness? What are some ways I have been guilty of seeking earthly greatness? They can be very subtle, so this takes some thought. And the second question, what is something you could do today to seek kingdom greatness? Something you could do today that God will say on Judgment Day, well done. November 9th, 2020, good job. Worth giving at least a couple minutes of thought to, don't you think? And maybe some prayer. We'll get into this in some more detail tomorrow. We'll talk about how seeking greatness, in order for it to be the right kind, it must add to, not compete with, God's glory. So I hope to see you back then.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.